Hey there, overcomers. Welcome to the Overcomable podcast, where we celebrate unleashing our inner rebel and conquering the darkness every week by sharing uplifting stories, real talk, and a whole lot of inspiration. Thanks for being here on this journey with us as we navigate the challenges life throws our way, sharing inspiring stories of resilience, growth, and triumph. Together, we'll uncover the strategies, insights, and motivation needed to overcome obstacles and emerge stronger than ever. Get ready to be uplifted, motivated, and equipped to conquer whatever darkness comes your way. So let's get ready to conquer those obstacles and make every episode a step toward a brighter and stronger you. Ready? Let's go. Hey there, beautiful souls. Welcome to another episode of the Overcomable podcast. This is Trish, your host. Our guest today is Michelle Ricketts. Michelle is a business consultant and tenacious leader who has overcome many challenges in her life. Michelle is going to talk about how she credits her health and fitness as the keys to her healing and overcoming many health issues that showed up in her life, even on the day she was born. Michelle brings a unique perspective to the conversation, emphasizing the importance of prioritizing good health not only as a preventative measure, but also as a foundation for resilience in the face of unexpected illness or accident. Michelle has become a tenacious leader, overcoming various business and personal challenges, and has learned from them, and she's now able to happy dance regularly. Her overall health and fitness have always played a part in her life and continue to be important in her consulting today, differentiating her from others in the industry. After 35 years in corporate, Michelle now guides leaders and owners to develop a self-sustaining business, increase revenue, and focus on their areas of expertise. She helps her clients reclaim their time, health, and create sustainable growth. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Trisha. So happy to be here with you today and to be able to connect with your lovely audience. So thank you for that.
I'm so happy to have you. Thank you.
And yes, the tenacious leader. Well, I didn't actually get that thought of the tenacious leader until much later in life. But what one of the things that sort of started it with, we say the universe knows. I have a twin brother, and my brother and I, at birth, we actually died and they brought us back. And so my mom, as we became adults, she said, you know, you two were just destined to be here. So that's really the initial tenacity, but I realized this much later in life. So with different things. So through my career in corporate, which was over 35 years, I've noticed that I've overcome many, many things. And starting with, or one of which was having reconstructive surgery on both feet, but not at the same time. And that was interesting, living on my own and getting around and all of those things when you're on crutches. And the first mistake I made there, coming back, you know, from the hospital, I'm at home and go to use the bathroom and I go to get up, forgetting that I have a cast on that is not supposed to be weight bearing. And of course I went to stand up. Well, I only did that once. Make that mistake.
Oh no.
But
were you okay?
Then, I was fine. I was fine. Okay. Yeah. It's the shock, right?
Right.
Of that. So take it a few years later. And I was playing football, touch football, with the team, and my leg decided to go one direction and my body went another direction, and I dislocated my knee, which then was on crutches once again, hobbling around for that. And I had done, when I do things, I do it well, Patricia. And yeah. I had done my they call it the triad, my ACL, my MCL, and my meniscus, which is three sort of critical elements around your knee.
Pretty much. And you got all three of them.
all three at the once. It happens. Not often, but it does happen. And so then it was a couple of years till I actually had the surgery, for the ACL repair, which now it's 100%, everything's great. And I've been athletic my whole life. So going into any of these things and coming out of them, I go in healthy, you come out much better on the other side. And so taking it then, we'll now go a few years later into, we'll say 2015, where I'm very in tune with my body. And I noticed something, my heart was beating fast. It was kind of strange. So went to the doctor. And of course, doesn't happen when you're at the doctor, right? How many times has that happened for someone? So finally, I think about the third visit or so, I was like, oh, wait. And he put the stethoscope. And yes, he heard the heartbeat, the beats. So my heart rate, my resting heart rate normally was about 35. And sitting in his office, I'm not doing anything, my heart shot up to 144. So within instantaneous.
Wow.
So then, of course, going through tests and different things. So I'm driving home one day from work. Beautiful sunny day in June, and all of a sudden, bang, crash, and I'm thrown around, and I don't know what's going on, and I, you know, the dust clears, and I realize I've had an accident. My bag is deployed, my door is smashed, people are talking to me, and what, you okay? And I didn't know what was going on. I realized, okay, I had an accident. I look up, there was a utility truck that I had crashed into. Now, thankfully, I was on a road and not a highway, and we weren't going fast. But our driver's side corners of the cars crashed. And that impact was so heavy that it tore the wheel right off the axle of my car.
Oh, my goodness.
But I was unhurt, thankfully. But I was supposed to be flying out to do an event. I did coordinated events, my side hustle at the time. And so I thought, you know, I better get checked out just in case. So went to the hospital. And they're all running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And meanwhile, you know, I called the doctor who I'd seen that morning. And I said, Doc, I think that procedure that we were going to do in October, we may want to move that up a little bit. Because I had figured that I probably passed out while driving and they figured that's what happened. And then this all ensued. Three different hospital visits later and taking me around, they decided to do the procedure that week. So I didn't actually went to a different hospital to get that procedure done. 5 hours, 24,000 irregular messages from my brain to my heart, the tachycardia. So multiple quadrant they did and corrected that. And then the doctor then repeated it about 3 months later because he wanted lower results than he had gotten originally, but coming out no worse for wear out of that. And he said, you know, let's put in a pacemaker. I'm like, no, we don't need to do that. I'm fit, I'm healthy, I work out 5 or 6 days a week, I hadn't had to change anything, I was doing great. 3 years later, I go to give blood. I'd given blood 70 times, Patricia.
Wow.
Normal. It was fine. Probably got some blood donors in your audience. So I go, I sit and I have the proverbial cookie afterwards. And, you know, you rest a certain amount of time, get in my car, drive over to my tailor shop to pick something up, walk across the road, up the stairs and bam, flat passed out face first into the carpet. Well, you can imagine. So as I sort of come to, I'm chatting with the EMT. I didn't even know that. Somebody told me afterwards. Apparently I had a lovely conversation. And they take me off to hospital once again.
Sitting on the edge of my seat, like, what happened?
Well, you can imagine the next conversation with my cardiologist was a little different. I said, fine. So I do have a pacemaker. There's different types of pacemakers. Some have a defibrillator. Some beat all the time because they need to. My heart is still healthy and amazing. And so mine only beats when my heart misses. And they felt that day after giving blood was the perfect storm where the heart probably missed a beat. The blood is not as much pumping because I just given away a pint. And so the perfect storm, poof, I patched out. So that doesn't happen again, they put the pacemaker.
Oh my goodness. And how are you now?
I'm great. I still do my workouts 5 or 6 days a week. I play tennis. I do a boxing workout. I do spin workouts. So I'm great. I know it's there. I don't even think about it anymore. And yeah, they say it's about 10% of the time. So that should last me a good 10 years before they have to replace a battery.
Okay. 10 years is good.
10 years
so
is good.
These are amazing recoveries that you've had from these experiences with your health. Mm. How did you go from each one what kind of mindset does it take to go from reconstructive surgery and then to dislocating your knee in three spaces and then, you know, your accident and then with your heart? Mm. Each time it's like you're a very resilient woman. How
Absolutely.
Did you do that? What are some things that are a part of you that we can share with the audience that can Yes. help?
Well, they're really some things that are key. And the one resounding thing that's key for me is fitness and nutrition and rest. Mm-hmm. And that means something different to everyone, but fitness being do something that keeps your body, your mind healthy. As I say, I do various classes and different things, but some people may be running, it may be kayaking, maybe be rock climbing, whatever it is, but we're human beings that are meant to move. And the better health and fitness, wellness you are going into something like any of these things that I've mentioned or other things that people may encounter, the better you are going into them, the better and faster you are coming out of them.
That makes so much sense.
Yes. There are times when I've been in hospital and somebody else is in a bed beside me and they look at me, and at 58 years young, I don't look my age. And big No. part of that is my fitness, my wellness. I have a sweet tooth. I'd be the first to admit it, but it's moderation in what I eat. I love my dark chocolate. I love my Werther's candy, but it is moderation. And that's the same with anything. You don't need to necessarily deny yourself things all the time. Yeah, a little fast food here and there, sure. But you want to make sure that you're eating well and nutritious food. So good carbohydrates, good healthy fats, making sure you're having some protein. And a good rule of thumb for a lot of things is your fist size for your protein, you know, maybe a little more, a little less for your carbohydrates. I don't count calories. I don't count stuff. I do look at ingredients and need another pair of glasses these days to do that. But I look at ingredients and I will see how much fat is in something, because it's a matter of maybe something better versus something worse. So when you look at, you know, yes, you may want something, some chocolate or a donut. What might be better than that? Maybe a fruit versus, right? Mm. So we look at what's better for us. And then it's a matter of making sure you're hydrated. So a lot of times as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, or an employee, we're doing life, we're doing business, we're doing our day, and we forget to drink or eat in some cases.
Yes.
When I was in corporate, I literally had a dot in my calendar that just made an alarm to remind me to eat. Because you could be in a meeting and you forget, and 2 hours later, you're going, okay, it's now 6 o'clock. I haven't eaten all day.
Yep.
Right. So it's a matter of having a way to remind yourself and get into a habit of things. They say, what, about 28 days or 21 days to get into mm-hmm. a habit. So get into a good habit from your nutrition, as well as your hydration. Some people like the huge bottle of water on their desk all day. That for me is mind blowing. I do. This is my 16 ounces. That's what I use. And I just keep refilling it. And I think it's sometimes that action of doing that. But if you like the big jug at the beginning of the day, use that. Do whatever works for you and make sure you're hydrating, because that high, both the hydration and then also getting your rest, getting your sleep. If you're a napper, take advantage of that. But if you're not, just ensure that you get good sleep. And that could be I do 6 hours during the week, but on the weekend, I'll do 8 or 10. And I feel rested with my 6 hours. But if I can get into that deep sleep, I get into my REM sleep. But as long as you wake up and you feel rested, you know you've had enough sleep for you. Don't worry about it, what anybody else is doing. Just do what works for us as an individual. Listen to your body. It will tell you exactly what it needs. And make sure that you follow that. So yeah, those are key. Those are really keys.
Don't worry about what other people are doing. What works for us? What works for us as individuals? I want to touch a little bit on hydration, because I feel like that's something that passes us by sometimes, because we're not thirsty, or you know, we had a Diet Coke or something instead. How important is water intake for our health? I wonder if you could talk about that.
Yes, it is so important, because it helps flush the bad stuff from our bodies, and the fats and everything from our bodies. And a lot of times you said, you know, we're not thirsty. If you get to thirsty, you're typically already dehydrated. So that's something that people want. Well, I'm not, wait till I'm thirsty. So you want to drink before you're thirsty. Things like soda or pop, coffee, tea. I'm a tea drinker. I have reduced my tea way down from what I used to have. But even then I still would hydrate, but you need to have a mix of water and whatever it else is. If you have wine, sure, have wine, maybe later in the day, but always make sure you're having your water as well. And I like to put either a little bit of lemon, or, there's Zevi. I don't know if you have that where you are, but that's something I'll put a little bit of something in. It's a carbonated water basically, but I'll put something in for a little flavor. I don't use the Milos and different things that are sugary. Don't use that. Stay away from Gatorade. One of my relatives was so thrilled. He's like, oh, stop drinking soda. I'm drinking juice. I'm drinking Gatorade. Okay. No, there is one actually, Gatorade Fit, that actually doesn't have all the other additives and sugar in it. So that one is one I do use sometimes, but you want to drink actual water. And the other thing is sometimes people will get a headache. That's another indication that you may be dehydrated. So before you reach for the Tylenol or the aspirin, reach for some water. Drink, you know, 2 glasses of water and your headache may very well go away.
Okay, that is great advice, because I bet people don't even realize that dehydration can cause a headache. They might know about, you know, being thirsty, but everything else that follows, we don't think about that could be a lack of enough water. How much would you say is enough for us to maintain?
And I'm sure there's stats. I don't know the exact number. I know for myself, I typically do 112 ounces a day, and that I'm following that on an app. I don't do the math in my head and remember. I actually use a water app, and there's a number of them out there. I also do intermittent fasting. So I combine the two.
Okay.
But there's lots of different ways to track your water. And I suggest you do that, because you can also drink too much water. So it's harder to do, but people have literally drowned internally, and some people have even died because of it.
Wow.
So you can actually be like, I'm drinking, you know, 300. No, you can actually drink too much water. So you want, again, that moderation, but you need to make sure you're having enough. So there probably are stats. I should probably look that up and see what that stat is. But somebody could Google it. Or ask Alexa or something and find out what that is. But yeah, there is a healthy amount of water to drink.
Okay. Well, thank you for that advice. And the other thing I want to talk about is rest. Rest is so important. And I believe in our society, our constantly, you know, busyness that we're always in, it's almost like frowned upon if you take a break or if you rest for half an hour. How do we get out of that conditioning to rest our bodies for our own health, not because of someone else's productivity?
And it's interesting, because I used to, on Sundays, I typically will sleep in. Now I do usually go to bed later on a Saturday night, so maybe 2 a.m. or whatever, but I'll sleep in on a Sunday. And I had a friend who used to call me at like 8 or 9 on a Sunday, and I was still in bed, but they'd ask, and I'd say, are you in bed? No, no, no. And I thought after a while, why am I saying that? It doesn't matter. Yes, you woke me up.
Exactly.
Right. So it is important, as we touched on before, there's different levels of sleep where you have your, you know, your rapid eye movement, your deeper sleep. So if you're a person who gets to sleep like me really easily, then you typically will probably get into that deep sleep much better and have good sleep cycles. There's also sleep cycles, 90 minutes, 60 minutes. There's different sleep cycles. So everyone is different. And if you're wearing technology that tells you your sleep pattern, that's great, because that will give you a better understanding of it. But you don't have to. Again, you listen to your body. And when you feel rested, and test, you know, do 8, do 6, do 10, whatever, test your body and see. But also if you're a napper, as I mentioned before, I can nap, but I don't nap during the week usually because it affects my sleep at night. However, yesterday, Tuesdays are a very busy day for me. And I had an event to go to in the evening, a social, for my first holiday social event. And about 3 o'clock, I was tired. I'd been in, you know, 4 or 5 meetings by then. And so I literally lay down on my couch, set my alarm for 20 minutes from then, and went to sleep and had a quick nap. Now, it didn't affect my sleep last night because it was such a busy day and later. But normally I don't do that during the week. But I do say when you're napping, unless you have the body clock that wakes you up within 15 or 20 minutes, if you don't, set your alarm because you're not trying to sleep and you don't typically want to crawl into bed because then that's a whole other level of sleeping. So I usually will do it in the couch. There are days when I've just gone in my office here and I have a little love seat behind me and I'll just go and sit there for a few minutes, but I set my alarm because then it'll wake you up. And for me anyway, wow, I just felt rested yesterday. I got up, I was ready to go, and I felt great for the rest of the evening. So it's, again, listen to your body. Because I could have sat here and still did work and, you know, that 15 minutes doing the nod. But I thought, you know what? My body's trying to tell me something and I have to go out later. I don't want to be nodding then. So listening to the body. And if you can, nap. And that is key. And that might be sometimes it's you're at the office. There's a place you can go away that's you know, away from everybody. Or even in your car. Make sure you're in park and you're not on a highway. But if you need.
That's a good one.
Yeah, if you're driving, because sometimes somebody will get tired driving, right? And you fall, your head's nodding. If you find, pull over right away, set your alarm, have a nap. You'll be amazed how refreshed you'll then feel. And you're not going to get in an accident and you'll be able to go on with the rest of your day or evening.
And what you said earlier, how some people would choose to continue to work through those 20 minutes exhausted.
Yes.
How do we get out of that habit? Is there anything that we can do, like something that we can tell our audience, like when it's okay to take a break? You don't have to push through and, you know, burn yourself out.
And it is. And you've touched on it a couple of times with, you know, we listen to what other people are saying and that voice in our head. Oh, you shouldn't do this. You can't do this. Mm-hmm. If it's better for you and your body, maybe today you don't work as late. And then tomorrow, maybe you do work a little bit later. But if we have that flexibility in our schedule, and that's where calendar and time blocking comes in. And that's a whole other conversation, Patricia, that I'm happy to do at another time.
But I would love to have you for sure.
Yes. But so really, the flexibility in your schedule is something that not every day should be a 16-hour day if you can help it, and have some days where you're not working quite as much. Maybe you're not on your computer. And one of the key things for computers, these are computer glasses. I do not wear glasses normally. Now, getting older, my eyes are getting older. So, yes, I have some magnifiers if I'm reading things and that. But computer glasses are specifically the lenses done to help both protect your eyes when you're on the screen so much. If you're like me, I work with clients on screens. You're doing podcast interviews. You're on screens. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't think about that, and they just either have regular glasses or they're not wearing anything at all. But having a computer lens that helps your eye, therefore helps your head, you're not going to be as tired. So that's something that you can look into as well. But listening to ourselves and not listening to the voices in our head or other people saying, oh, you should do this and you shouldn't do this. When it comes to rest, hydration, and nutrition and fitness, those things, we should be listening to ourselves and our body.
Yes. And I am with you. And that is, it comes down to a choice. Like, we choose ourselves, we choose our health, we choose our fitness, we choose our rest and our nutrition and our hydration. And, you know, that thing can get done a little bit later. It's okay.
Yes.
And absolutely. Thank you for all your insight on fitness and how, and this is how you overcame all of these health issues that came into your life without, you know, we don't plan these things, but like you said, if you're prepared with a physically fit body before they happen, you can recover much better.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll leave you with one thing to say too, because I also get people saying, but you're fit and healthy and you still have these things happen. Life happens, right? We can't control every element of our environment. And, you know, I had, you know, I passed out, I hit a curve. Yeah, we can't control everything, but control what we can. And for the rest of it, set our bodies, our minds, and our businesses up to be able to deal with things as they come forward. And then everyone else can work towards being that tenacious leader as well.
And I can see that a lot of these things that you've talked about are very important towards entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. And thank you so much. How can the audience reach you or contact you?
And I will give you, and so you can put them in the description afterwards, but I'm on all the social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Michelle Ricketts, or Cohesion Services. They're all on there, all of them. I only mentioned a couple, but I'm on there. I'll also share with you my business scorecard so people can sort of see where they are. With respect Great. To that, I have a Tenacious Leader scorecard and a mini health and nutrition guide. So I'll say that that's courtesy of one of my friends who is a personal trainer, Sean Gill. So I'll share those links with you as well.
Thank you so much. Those are all great. It was amazing to have you. And thank you for all of your insights and advice on our health and how to stay fit so we can be ready in case, you know, because life does happen, like you said.
Yes.
Thank you. And I'm so glad that you have come out of every one of those things victorious.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, Patricia. I love it.
You too. Thank you so much. And I hope we can have this conversation again.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to the Overcomable podcast today and for joining us on this empowering journey. Remember, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. Obstacles are just opportunities in disguise. Keep pushing forward, stay resilient, and embrace the triumphs that await you. Until next time, this is Trish signing off, reminding you that you have the strength to overcome any challenge life throws your way. And remember, the universe is out there cheering us on. See you in the next episode. If you would like to learn more about our mission, please visit our website at www.overcomable.com, where you can also find some inspirational and helpful resources to help and empower you to live your best life.